ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 3, text number 37. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajo Guna Samudbhavaha Mahashana Mahapapma Papma Vidyanam Mihavarinam Vidyanam Mihavarinam. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed in wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Purport. When a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. Or in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. Then again, when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. Wrath is transformed into illusion, and illusion continues material existence. Therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity, and it is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the material world. Wrath is a manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other corollaries. If therefore the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance, is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. The Supreme Personality of God had expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss. And living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss. They also have partial independence, but by misuse of their independence, when the service attitude is transformed into the propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to the conditioned souls to fulfill these lustful propensities. And when completely baffled by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about their real position. This inquiry is the beginning of the Vedanta Sutras, wherein it is said, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. One should inquire into the Supreme. And the Supreme is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam as Janmadyasya Jatonvayad Itaratascha, or the origin of everything is the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the origin of lust is also in the Supreme. If therefore lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Hanuman, the great servitor of Lord Ram, exhibited his wrath by burning the golden city of Ravana, but by doing so he became the greatest devotee of the Lord. Here also in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord induces Arjuna to engage his wrath upon his enemies for the satisfaction of the Lord. Therefore, lust and wrath when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, become our friends instead of our enemies. Shakshurun miritam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Interesting point here. Why we exist. Sometimes people ask, you know, why do we exist? What's the point of our existence? And that question is answered here, that Krishna expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss. Of course, it's also stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there was never a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. So how can we say that Krishna expanded us when we've always existed? The answer is, we're the eternal expansions of Krishna. He's been expanding us from himself eternally. We are eternally being expanded from Krishna. That's how we exist. We can't manifest ourselves. Krishna is manifesting us by his desire for ever-increasing bliss. It's like Chanakya Pandit, he said that a home without children is a desert. So the husband and wife, they expand the home life by having some children to increase the enjoyment of the home life. So that is the same propensity as there in God. He expands, even though Krishna is Atmaram, he can enjoy completely on his own. Because he can do anything he wants, therefore he decides to enjoy unlimited by expanding unlimited numbers of living entities from himself for the purpose of increasing his bliss of loving relationships with each and every one of those part and parcel living entities. He has a unique relationship, actually. It's like there are no two snowflakes that are exactly the same. There are no two jivas that are exactly the same also. Every jiva has his own unique qualities and characteristics that make him totally unique and totally different from any other jiva. And because that jiva has his own unique characteristics and qualities, Krishna can have a special flavor or taste in the relationship with that person that he can have with no one else. So this is an interesting point. That in Krishna consciousness we actually understand why we exist and how we exist. No other theologian, no theologians outside of this Vedic culture have the slightest clue as to why we exist. But we have very solid information here from Srila Prabhupada, confirmed in the Vedic wisdom. So we can understand exactly why we exist. Now, how does this rascal mentality called lust come about? That's another question. Well, if God is so perfect, then why is the world so imperfect? It's a very common question. They say, well, God is either all good or he's all, he's all powerful, but he's not both. If he was all good, there wouldn't be evil in the world, but that means he's not all powerful. He has good intentions, but he just can't control everything. It's beyond his scope to control everything. Or they say, Arty is all powerful, but he has a bad side to him also. That's all this evil go on. Well, the fact is that actually he's all powerful and he is all good at the same time. And this tendency we have, as described here, to fall under the influence of lust and unfulfilled, that lust becomes wrath. That tendency is there for a purpose. Your darling son here, Mukunda, you see, do you threaten him with violence if he doesn't love you? No. He could not love you if you threatened him with violence. My dear son, you must love me or I will beat you to a bloody pulp. He could not love. He may pretend to love you out of fear, but he cannot genuinely feel affection for you. So the Lord, out of his infinite kindness and is actually, it's his infinite entirety of joy, actually. Krishna's selfish, let's face it. He has a right to be, he's God. He's doing everything for his own enjoyment. And that's perfect, Krishna. We cannot do. That's not our position. Krishna can do. So anyway, he gives each of us the choice to love him or to leave him so that we can actually love him. We can actually love him out of our own free will. So that gives Krishna great satisfaction to give us independence and see what we will do with it. It gives him great happiness. When we take that independence, complete freedom he's given us to love him or to leave him, and we choose to love him. That gives him the greatest happiness. In fact, he becomes so satisfied when we do that that he becomes subordinate to his devotees. Krishna is called Jita. He is unconquerable. But yet he becomes Jita, or conquered by his devotees. And they love him purely, without any strings attached, no conditions. So this lust and this wrath, they are simply manifestations of the energy of Krishna, which condition the consciousness of those who have opted to leave Krishna. As described here, that lust is actually nothing but love of Krishna, but it's just in contact with the misuse of the independence. It's the same energy. It's just misdirected. The same energy. Everything is Krishna's energy, ultimately. So that same energy that could be used to satisfy Krishna is being used to rebel against Krishna. So all we have to do is take that energy which we've been using to rebel against Krishna and reconnect that with Krishna. And if we do so, it will become very wonderful. There's a name for it. There's a name for doing that. It's called Krishna consciousness. And we have a society called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in which we do that as a group. Individually and collectively, we come together for the purpose of enhancing each other's Krishna consciousness. There's energy and then there's synergy. And when there's a group of people come together for the same purpose of Krishna consciousness, then the results become magnified in thousands and millions of times. So in a nutshell, that is our Krishna consciousness. We wanted to be a little short tonight because we're a little tired and exhausted from the road. So, but is there any? We can ask now. If there's any questions?
In the Bhagavad, Srila Prabhupada is also mentioning that that we are getting the chance to get frustrated by trying to get lucky in the material world, and so get back to Krishna by free will. You know? This is the very main point. So please, can you tell us something about the balance between respecting free will and preaching, and concerning to the level of preaching, because it is necessary to have a very high level when you preach, not to force the others and to respect their free will. And
yes, yes.
To give them
yes, yes. How
that they are respected.
That's right. Krishna consciousness is not imposing anything on anyone. That you, that I will put you under a spell, you have to be a Hare Krishna now, Eddie. You have to become a Hare Krishna now. It's not like that. That I try to take away your free will by, you know, a sales pitch. The reality is that every living entity is originally Krishna conscious. Mm-hmm. Everyone has Krishna bhakti already there within them. All we're doing when we preach Krishna consciousness, all we're doing is helping them to get free of those things which are imposed upon them, which have taken away their free will. They become subjugated by the influence of tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. They've become subjugated by the influence of the three modes of nature. They've lost their free will. They've become robots of the three modes. They have no freedom. So what we're doing is by bringing them in contact with Shabda Brahma, Hare Krishna mantra, Bhagavad Gita, philosophy. This is called Shabda Brahma. This, by coming in contact with Shabda Brahma, the living entity who's been caught up in these three ropes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, now it cuts through the ropes. He becomes free. So it is just the opposite. We're doing nothing but cutting them free from their entanglement within the mother nature. And then their natural, original propensity to love Krishna will naturally come. You don't have to force it. All you have to do is free them from the influence of the modes. Give them an atmosphere, a transcendental atmosphere with kirtan, prasadam, wonderful Vaishnava loving dealings, you see. Because everyone in the material world, they're friendly, but they all have some lusty thing. What can I get out of this anyway? You know. But in Krishna consciousness, we don't have any ulterior motive. We just want to give them the knowledge of who they are. And empower them to be who they are. You see, that's all we're really doing. All we're really saying to them is know who you are and be who you are. That's our message in a nutshell. If you want to boil it down to the most simple, understandable formula. If somebody asks, what is your Krishna consciousness philosophy? You can boil it down to the simple little slogan. Know who you are and be who you are. That's all we're really saying. My dear sir, we'd like you to know who you are. That's all. And we'll teach you how to actually be who you are. You're really going to boil it down to the simplest thing. That's all we're really saying to the world society. Know who you are and be who you are. We're not imposing anything. We're just taking, all we're doing is taking away those things that have been imposed upon them. That's all we're doing.
The balance is very hard to live. When you know who you are, then you also know where you stand. And then be who you are means for me to be so honest and not trying to be someone else, to be higher developed, you know. But then you have conflict. You know the philosophy, and you know the recommendations of Srila Prabhupada, and you know where you stand. So sometimes it's getting some short circuit in the brain, you know.
The only thing that's standing in the way is our conditioning. Our conditioning. Mm-hmm. We've been programmed into thinking I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm German, I'm Indian. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's standing in the way is our conditioning. That's why kirtan is very good, prasadam. You know, these things help to purify away the conditioning. Little child, we're taught from the little child age, oh, you're such a cute little boy. You see? Isn't it? Oh, you're such a cute little boy. You're such a cute little boy. You see, in this way we condition them. But you're not actually a boy, you're a spirit soul. That you should know. You see, we have to educate people from the childhood. Because we've been, let's face it, growing up here in the Western world, we've been so miseducated. It's difficult for us to just know who we are and be who we are. We've been so misguided. So horribly misguided. For how many years, you know, ever since we came out of our mother's womb, we've been misguided. So it's not surprising that we're still bewildered, even though we've heard Bhagavad Gita so many times. You know, we've chanted Hare Krishna so many times, we had so much prasadam, we've met so many advanced devotees, but still our minds are bewildered. Because we're so conditioned. So horribly conditioned. So we just have to go on hearing, chanting, praying, bowing down. Stick to the process of sadhana bhakti. Nava vira bhakti. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana. You see, in this way, take the ninefold path, ninefold activities of bhakti yoga, practice them very, very seriously. And then all of this conditioning, the influence will go away. And that glorious day will come when we will actually become completely pure devotees and we'll be able to see Krishna face to face. Papa told me that. He wrote me one letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Papa told me. Can you imagine being able to meet Krishna just like you and I are seeing each other face to face? You could actually sit down and see, you could actually be sitting with Krishna and see him face to face. What kind of exalted state of consciousness that would be? Prabhupada wants you to come to that position. How are you going to come there? You have to become very introspective. Introspective means examining yourself. Inspective means to inspect, and intro means within. Introspective means you look within, observing your own psyche, your own mind. It's called being introspective, looking within, literally looking within. Extrospective is to see what's happening outside, and introspective to see what's happening inside. Introspective means that you have to see that every thought that I'm thinking, every word that's coming out of my mouth, and every activity I'm performing with my body is pleasing to Krishna. So how do I know if it pleases Krishna? Well, Guru is there, Vaishnavas are there, you see. The scripture is there. From these three things you can know what is pleasing to Krishna or what is not pleasing to Krishna. Guru, spiritual master, the scriptures, and the devotees, you see. From these three sources we can know, is this thought I'm thinking, is this word I'm speaking, is this activity I'm performing with my body, is it pleasing to Krishna or not? So pure devotion means you come to that point where everything you think, speak and do is pleasing to Krishna. Completely, 100%. That is called pure bhakti. So how do you come to that point? You have to practice. You have to always watch yourself. Am I thinking properly? Am I speaking properly? Am I acting properly? Always be looking. And ask the senior devotees, you know, to correct you if you're doing something wrong. Find some devotees you trust. Put yourself under their supervision. You kindly tell me if I'm saying something or think might looks like, you know, if I have the wrong attitude or doing the wrong thing. That's called humility. You're willing to submit yourself to the Vaishnavas for rectification of your faults. Of course, if you're free of faults, there's no need. But the reality is, isn't it? Aren't we full of faults? Aren't we full of faults? Aren't you full of faults?
Of course.
Yes. That is our position. We are full of faults. Isn't it? This is like a honeycomb full of honey. We're just full of fluff. So that's why we have a family. It's called ISKCON, that we can ask our fellow devotees, please point out my faults. Help me get over my faults.
Maharaj, once we find out that there are some faults in us, how do we correct them? Because even if you want to correct them, they come again and again. It's very difficult to... even we know that we are wrong, it's difficult to correct ourselves.
You want to answer that one?
Yes, we have.
Even if you know the fault is there, how do you correct it? You keep doing the same thing again and again and again. How do you get over it? When you have a habit of doing the same mistake, the same fault again and again, how do you give up that bad habit? You give an answer for that. You want to answer that? All right. And I'll answer. You have to beg the mercy of the Vaishnava. You have to beg the mercy of Guru and Vaishnava to help you. That's, you have to beg the mercy of Guru and beg the mercy of the Vaishnavas to help you get over your bad habits. If you become humble before the spiritual master and before the Vaishnavas, they'll be very kind upon you. And every time you start to make that mistake, they'll chastise you. You're doing it again, you rascal. You're doing it again. Huh? No. Shiva asked me, what about faults? Or what if you're being wrongly corrected for something you're not doing? They're making the mistake. All right. Let's say you submit yourself to the devotee's correction, but they're making a mistake and they're correcting you for something that you're doing right. And that sometimes happened. That happened to Jaya Pataka Swami when he was a young brahmachari. Prabhupada told him that every day you bring me a flower. And so he went to the temple treasury and said, Prabhupada wants me to bring him a flower every day, so you give me the money to buy it. And they said, no, you can't do that. That's Maya. So he was bewildered, Prabhupada said, bring me a flower, and the temple treasury said, no, that's Maya, you can't do that. Because they didn't have much money. They thought maybe he had made it up. So he was totally bewildered. He didn't know what to do. But he ended up doing it. He brought Prabhupada a flower every day. So what if you're being corrected by some devotee and actually he's the one who's wrong? He shouldn't have been correcting you. Then you have Krishna always as your best friend within the heart. He says in chapter 10, verse number 10, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So all you have to do is be sincere. And then you'll know when you're being rightly corrected or wrongly corrected. The chances are you're probably being rightly corrected because, but sometimes we are wrongly corrected also. So we have to know that. And if we're sincere, Krishna will give us the intelligence to understand when we're being rightly corrected or wrongly corrected. So we can know when to take the correction and surrender to it or when to just let it bounce off. It's simply a matter of, it all boils down to sincerity. It all boils down to sincerity. Any other questions? I think we'll, if there's no other question, we can end here. We'll have a little bit longer. We're just a little tired from the road. We want to get some early rest. But we're so happy to be here with you wonderful devotees. And we're blessed by your Sangha. Even though we're just some operatis, somehow you've led us into your home here. You've kindly opened your door to these offenders. And we just pray that we will not commit any aparad when we are here. That we can be pleasing to all of our thoughts, words, and activities can be pleasing to you all over here. We're just praying for that. We don't want to create any offense over here. Huh?
Thank you very much, Dad. You give us little chance, small chance to serve you and have your association.
So, Anything else?
Not? I have one question.
All right.
There was actually one our Congress member, he was asking in one program a question.
You had a congregational member and he what?
He was asking.
Asking, okay.
I was repeating.
Okay.
But he was saying that when the devotees are practicing devotional life, and still there are so many faults.
Yes, yes.
And there is some sort of stage that you are trying to practice and solve Krishna, but there is still, and you are, when you are, you know more about Krishna consciousness, you feel that you have still more faults within yourself.
Yes, yes.
And then when you are in such a condition that you feel like very disqualified, in a sort of depression, and that I'm very unqualified.
So you're wondering if you become, the more you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more you see your faults, and then you become depressed.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. No. Doesn't work that way. The more you can see your actual faults, Krishna will, the more you actually see them, more Krishna will give you the ability to subdue them and to conquer over them. Just like when you may hear that you have cancer, and that's a pretty disturbing thing. Then when you find out exactly where the cancer is in your body, and you find out exactly what is the treatment for eradicating the cancer, you feel better.
I thought you are cured.
Cured?
Yeah. I thought you are cured, you feel happy.
Yes, but even when the cure is even while the cure is happening, you feel good. You're feeling relief. The cure is working. Even before you're completely cured, you already feel happy. That's stated in the Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Bhagavatam? Bhagmana, what is it? Is almost Nashtapalisha Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloka Bhakti Bhavati. Is that it? Is when it's practically, even when you're, it's practically destroyed, reduced almost to nil. Even when your anartha is reduced almost to nil, you're feeling great happiness and joy. Even though they are still there, you're now conquering over them. So it's not that when you find out how contaminated you are that now you become more and more unhappy. No. When you actually realize the real fact about yourself, and you actually find the means of conquering over those anarthas, you become more and more and more and more joyful. That's the reality. If he's feeling depressed, that means he's still holding on to his pride. He hasn't been willing to, he hasn't submitted himself to rectification yet for Guru and Vaishnavas.
Would you say that someone is trying to be humble and they cannot practice humility, so then it happens so that they go into depression?
Just someone like is trying to be humble.
Many people say, though, if I'm thinking I'm humble, you know, I'm trying to act like humble, but then I feel myself very low.
The more you actually feel yourself low, the more you become exalted.
Humbleness and lowliness in the karmi world, you will feel depression. But at the same time, that story.
In karmi world, everything is depressing.
Because that story about that snake.
Yeah.
That when he became a devotee, then everybody started throwing stones at him.
Yes. When you're dealing with people of a materialistic mentality, you may have to show your strength. Prabhupada, when he would debate with materialists, you know what he said? He said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. Amongst the saintly devotees, you make yourself very humble, but when it comes to defeating materialistic philosophy, a devotee acts like a king. conquering pandit. You know what Prabhupada told us? He said, go village to village, city to city, town to town, and make Digvijaya. Digvijaya means one who conquers in all directions. You make Digvijaya. That there is God. I can prove that there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on. Now that's very... You see... That's actually humility. Humility means to surrender the order of Guru. It doesn't mean to hold your head down. Humility means you surrender to Guru's order. That is humility. The spiritual master orders that you should challenge everyone that, why are you an atheist? You must accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is humility, when you challenge everyone in the order of your Guru. In the order of Prabhupada, in the order of the scriptures.
One more question. This is actually related to myself. I'm working in this one of the biggest companies in the world. Actually, I had a big dream to work with such company. And now, I don't feel very comfortable to work with so many mundane people.
You do?
I don't feel.
You don't? Yeah. Okay.
I don't feel comfortable.
Yes.
And there are so many...
That's good.
So many enviousness and...
Yes, yes.
And I feel sort of duplicity there that I cannot become same and humble. And I have to show up there that I'm the best one.
Right, you have to.
Yeah.
In the material world, that's right.
Yeah. And somehow or other I feel very much disturbed, and the people are, they don't have any interest in spiritual life. Mm. Completely absorbed in the tamoguna. And I was actually already a couple of years, I'm thinking that is it really things which I have to do?
Well, if you can maintain yourself by running your own business without working there, that is alright. You need money is necessary, so you have to do something for making money. If you can start your own company and put Ericsson out of business, that'd be very good. And then you can create the atmosphere of the company. If you're the owner of the company, you can create the atmosphere that you like. People have to have your attitude. Now you have to give in, you have to pretend like you agree with their attitude. But if you start your own company, then they have to work according to your attitude. You can train them to be the way that you want them to be if you own the company. So that's one solution. You just start, you learn everything you can and then start your own business.
I'm thinking.
You're thinking then?
Yeah.
Krishna must have told me then.
Yeah.
He must have given me that tip that I should tell you this because I had no idea. You're thinking like that. But that's a fact. You start your own company. The thing is, the safest thing is you keep your current job and then do it part-time.
Yes.
So you don't lose any income. Or you have any sleepless nights, so your wife is in total anxiety about how the rent will be paid.
Yes,
you do it, and you do your 16 rounds. You go to work, and you also start your own business on the side. And then, when it really takes off, and you can, and it's solid, then you can step out of that one. That's what I did.
But they can fire him if they come to know that they.
Well, it doesn't have to be a competitive business. Yeah. It could be another field, too.
I have to be the bosses.
Yeah.
I did that. I worked full-time, then I worked part-time, and then I started my own business, and then I gave that up and became a full-time preacher. That's what I did. I worked job for some time, and then I worked part-time, and then I started my own business, and stopped working for Karmis, and then I became full-time preacher, Vanaprastha. Yes.
I started my own business 3.5 years ago, and I have to tell, when you were telling about the situation in Ericsson, I was getting the impression that you feel very lonely there. And me, I also feel my everyday life very lonely, because I have to handle with very materialistic people. I'm selling water filter systems, right, you know? And to talk with these people...
What did he say?
He said he feels very lonely because he has to interact with the armies a lot. And he's doing the business of selling the water filter.
Yes, and I have to talk to them, I have to give them the hands, I have to, you know, I have to get...
But then you should do book distribution also.
Yes.
In America, that we have on the side, not at the same time, but you spend some time with your water business, then you do your books. This is, we have the top water filter distributor in North America also does book distribution, not at the same time, but he does one for a while, he does the other, he does both. Yes. Vaisheshika Prabhu, he does book distribution. He's a big book distributor. So you take some time selling water filters to cover your maintenance, and then go out and distribute books with that. All that skill you have selling water filters, use that skill to distribute Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
And then you won't feel lonely, you'll feel Krishna with you at every minute. Yeah, just that if you won't feel lonely if you start preaching. You feel Krishna with you at every minute. Prabhupada will be with you, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they'll all be sitting with you at every minute. You'll have all the acharyas with you. You won't feel lonely anymore if you preach. You have to preach.
I know, but why is it so hard to make this final step to live completely by book distribution, for example?
No, don't try to live completely like book distribution. Do it as a hobby on the side.
Yes, but when you make realization that you feel so happy when you do it, and then there's some kind of fear still alive inside to maintain. I have to
insecurity.
I have to go on with this business to pay the flat, to pay the energy.
Do whatever is practical. I don't know what the policy here is about individuals doing books. Depends on what the policy is in your country. In America, anybody who wants can buy books from the BBT and sell them and keep the profit. That's considered okay in America. It just depends on the policy in Germany. If they allow you to keep profit from selling the books, that's up to the leadership in Germany.
Yeah, if you don't.
They allow it here too? Yeah. Okay, whatever. You have to be in harmony with the ISKCON leadership.
Yeah. Yes.
That however you which whatever you do.
Okay. And I have one very short question.
All right, this is the last one.
Not a big philosophical, but concerning the Harinam tomorrow. Perhaps you want to leave Harinam? Because I my voice a little loud Harinam on the and perhaps we test before this kind of stuff, because I had a discussion with the people who are from with the police. It's not allowed to get too loud.